Hello, my name is Hazel Marlinwood. I'm speaking on behalf of the Peterborough chapter of Hopes International to tell you that you're listening to Trent Radio 92.7 FM, quality programming for the Peterborough community. Oh, turn that music down, please. It's hurting my ears. Turn that music down. Excuse me, I said that was hurting my ears. For the love of God, turn that down! Turn that down!
All right, girls and boys, that was the craziest station ID. This is Web Madman back with you on another Saturday afternoon. Next to me is Pilot K9. I figured I'd start off this week with some sad news. Lux Interior, the lead singer of The Cramps, passed away on Wednesday, unfortunately. The Cramps. What can you say about The Cramps? my first exposure to The Cramps was on City Limits on Much Music.
Yeah.
And there was this like scrawny white boy in Frankenfurter drag with like huge high heels, deep throating his microphone and screaming profusely. Crazy stuff.
I wonder if the operator's room is unlocked.
Yes, Parker is here now. So
there's a book, Incredibly Strange Music, where they interview Lux and Ivy about their record collection.
Oh, that could be interesting.
I'll see if I can find that.
Okay, well, in the meantime, I'm actually going to play one of their few kind of quote-unquote hits, which, of course, is the famous song Bikini Girls with Machine Guns. So I'll give that one a spin for y'all out there. And then maybe by that point, Pilot K9 will have something to read. So that's my scoop. I'm sticking to it.
Remember this. Everything that you have ever experienced in your entire life has brought you to this instant. All things now are possible in the limitless void of counter-actuality. All things, too, that are knowable will be realized in this new dimension of Bikini Girls with Machine Guns.
Oh,
my, oh my.
That was great.
That was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, the radio listeners couldn't watch the crazy video that went along with that. That was some tight leather he was wearing there.
I think it's really spray paint, actually.
Oh, okay. How did they get that shininess? That's crazy. Oh, I see. There's an article where they're actually talking to Henry Rollins of Black Flag and the Rollins Band. Another old school punk rocker.
Yeah, he's getting pretty old too, I bet.
Yeah. Well, in these days, he's got his own show on IFC, eh?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys where it's like, whose side are you on? Because he's cool enough at times, but he sure is a media sled at times. I saw him interviewing Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, no.
And the groveling was just, it was hard to take.
That's sad, but everybody's got
their own
heroes.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And
it's
Ozzy Osbourne, I mean.
Yes.
It would be almost worth groveling to him if it was in, like, 1972.
Right.
But right now, he's a drug-addled mess.
Yeah, well, a recovered drug-addled mess, but.
Oh, yeah, but he's. Yes. It's too late. And he's permanently brain damaged.
It's true. Good thing he's got his wife who saved him from complete obscurity and took over managing him in his solo career. Yeah. And that was when he managed to do his comeback and become all famous and stuff again. Oh, funny. But the other thing,
read this memory of
this big blob
interior.
Should we read all this?
Go for it.
Okay. All right. I'll skip the earlier blurb, and these are the words of Henry Rollins, which I guess he wrote a few days ago. I grew up in Washington, D.C. in the 70s, and when punk rock came along, I realized that my ship had come in. The Cramps would come down to D.C., and I would see them play in a space about the size of your living room. It was kind of scary being in the front row. Lux would find something to swing from. If there were ceiling tiles, they'd all be on the floor by the end of the thing. Lux would somehow find his way out of his pants and be down to a pair of bikini briefs twitching all over the floor. He's a very large man. Really? That's interesting. Anyway, very tall, very pale, and very sweaty. They all look so amazing. Each one could have been a movie star. I remember buying their first and second single from a roadie who was selling them for $3 at the door. It's probably worth its weight in gold now. The first two Cramps 7 inches were some of the first independent singles I ever owned. Once I drove up to New York to see them in my little VW, it was me and most of the bad brains all crammed into my little car. It was at Irving Plaza, and HR from Bad Brains, he went backstage because he's a big rock star, and he came out with a slick of the album cover, and the whole band had signed the back. Ooh, I still have it to this day. That's crazy. Imnake's first band, the Teen Idols, once opened for the Cramps, and it was a big deal. So the Cramps go out, and we're all up front, and Lux is unbuttoning his pants and flopping around on the ground. So being a helpful Boy Scouts, we just kind of yanked on his jeans. They rolled off, and we were just standing there with these dripping jeans. After we walked backstage and to give Lux his pants back, and we're kind of terrified of the Cramps because we don't know what they are like. And we go backstage, and there is guitarist Brian Gregory looking satanic, and Ian kind of mumbles, "Oh, here's Lux's pants." And Brian Gregory says, "Oh, look, Lux, the boys brought your pants back, and they're cleaned and pressed." Everyone laughed, and Lux said, "Thank you." We just kind of ran downstairs. Many years later, we played together at the Pukkelpop Festival in Europe. At that time, Lux was in his rubber pants, high heels, pour wine all over himself era. So we finished they finish their set, and he's walking up the stairs with that bouffant. He's been rolling on the ground, and he's red from wine. His mascara is running, and I think one heel is broken. He's a very large man. He's this very large man tottering up the stairs, and I said, "Hey, Lux," and he kind of looked at me and said, "Good afternoon." You get the idea that there was something very decent about them, that there was something almost like your dad about how they were. And it seems to me that Lux and his wife and bandmate, Ivy, were fairly insular, away from the general roar of things, which makes them interesting to me. I really appreciated their fascination with 50s color culture and everything camp. They'll be the first to tell you, we're not in school right now. And so, to me, the Cramps were always just really fun and clever. Like the lyrics for GarageBand, they're smart and cool in the way that Mark Twain was smart and cool. Yeah, it's a good comparison. Those early records, like the first two singles and the Gravest Hits EP and Songs the Lord Taught Us and Psychedelic Jungle, to me, are just as good as American music can get. There's a handful of bands that are just part of your working mojo, and the Cramps are one of those bands. I went to that Miles Davis function they had the other night, and I saw Raymond Pettibon and Mike Watt there. And they were just really bummed out about Lux. To have that and Ron Ashton right in the same immediate period of time was really a loss. In my opinion, when it comes to being a front person, you should say, that person could never hold a full-time job. Just give him a microphone and get out of his way. And that was Lux. He was definitely that uncontainable personality and that voice. The guy could really sing. Nothing sounds like him. He had the gender-bending kind of what-is-he thing. He was kind of crazy, and you gave him some room because he might get some on you. That informed me as far as being a front person owning your territory. Yeah, very cool. Interesting, Mike Watt has a Peterborough connection.
Really?
Yeah. Let's just give a bit of a Google here.
Yeah, before I forget, I wanted to point out that Ron Ashton died.
Right.
That was a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I heard the Stooges on CBC and wondered why.
Right.
And then, Ashton.
Right.
The guitarist of the Stooges.
Uh-huh.
And ironically, he was the one who did the least drugs of all of them.
All right. Right. Well, he didn't pickle himself enough. Now, I'm not sure. It was my friend Michael that was talking about the Mike Watt connection to Peterborough, but to be honest, I cannot remember it now. There's probably some old-timers out there that could probably fill you in on that one.
Yeah, Mike Watt played in the Stooges when they did the reunion tour.
Oh.
Their original bassist died in the 1970s.
Mike Watt has played with everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear. I had Ball Hog or Tugboat, which was like all this session stuff that he did with a gazillion different people.
Right.
It was a pretty interesting album. It just went from one end of the spectrum to the other.
There's an album here in the archives called Big Bottom Powwow.
Oh, yeah?
It's all bass players.
Oh, well, there you go.
He was also in a band, a two-piece, two-bass band with Kira from Black Flag.
Oh, yeah. Just pulling up some Ron Ashton. Okay. Uh-huh. Crazy. Well, it's funny because I remember there was a period when there was a Timothy Leary, Burroughs. There was like a bunch of beats that died within a couple of year period
right there.
It seems to go in waves. Strangely enough. Yes, and on that front, Robert Anton Wilson managed to hold out for another decade.
Right.
Rather
unexpectedly.
Yeah, I mean, and just to go back to what you were saying about how, like, it was Ron Ashton did the least amount of drugs, and interestingly enough, Robert Anton Wilson didn't do the most drugs, but he had the most health issues. He had childhood polio and had a certain treatment, and it ended up coming back on him. And so that was one of the things that had him pretty out of commission for the last few years of his life. Although he did continue to do a lot of interviews.
And sit down.
Yeah.
Well, stand-up philosopher, but then he became a sit-down philosopher.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, he did have a bit of a recovery using a lot of different sort of techniques, especially involving neuro-linguistic programming, which he was a big advocate of.
Right.
I don't know if you've read much about NLP, but it's pretty neat stuff. Mm-hmm. Very much up his alley. A lot of it you can sort of see is coming out of the work that him and Timothy Leary did in the Eight Circuits of Consciousness and those sorts of mind-bending things. Quite the contrast to folks like Lux Interior, who is so mindless, it's brilliant in that kind of way, right? As we just read with Henry Rollins.
I was hoping to find that book, Incredibly Strange Music,
right,
which has... I can't get into
the full list. Archive. Right.
But there's an interview in one of those books with Lux and Ivy about their record collection.
Uh-huh.
And they were just obsessive collectors.
Like, right.
They drive across the country.
Right.
To visit small towns to buy 78s.
Oh... Well, you've got a folder here with Lux and Ivy's favorites.
Compilation of some songs that influenced them, maybe.
Right, right. So shall we cue some of that up and give folks a listen? Give them an education in this...
How about Enchanted Farm by the Forbidden Five?
Where's that one? Forbidden Five, Enchanted Farm. Okay, well, we'll cue that one up. And then... I missed a quick one. Okay, so this is Enchanted Farm by the Forbidden Five.
Well, I know
Bill Ward and his Dominoes.
That was pretty far out.
That was pretty trippy. And before that was the Forbidden Five doing Enchanted Farm. I heard explosions in there.
Enchanting.
Very enchanting.
It's almost Exotica sounding.
Yeah?
Yeah, Martin Denny influenced maybe.
Right? Yep. No, very strange stuff. And definitely could hear the, you know, where the cramps would definitely pull some influence from that stuff.
Yeah.
So, shifting gears now, I just wanted to mention, when I was last down at ArtSpace, Iga was telling me about a very special event coming up at the end of February in sort of recognition of... was it Black History Month?
Yeah.
What's the actual official title?
I think it is actually Black History Month.
Right. Because it coincides with Martin Luther King's birthdays in February, right?
Yeah.
But at any rate, ArtSpace is doing a performance slash workshop series with Lillian Allen, who's an incredible dub poet.
Right, and also teaches at the Ontario College of Art and Design.
Right, and she's going to be coming and doing some collaborations with local artists, as well as putting on a performance down at ArtSpace. Iga is insisting that I be there because she said that she would know that I would like it. So I'm, you know, and so I'm going to have to try and make it down for that. As well as all you other folk out there listening, make sure and come on down to ArtSpace on the last weekend of the month. I'll have more information on that as we progress. What is the last? Show me the calendar. Right, it's the weekend of the 27th.
November 2004.
Oh, what the hell?
That calendar resets itself to November 2004 every time.
Weirdness. Okay. Well, at any rate, I do know that it's the last weekend of the month, which is like the 27th, 28th, because this is February, so it's the short one. Whoa!
This is the way I always do it. Just click ahead until you get to 2009.
Right. We're in 2008 and 2009. Aha, yes, 27th, 28th. I think it might spill over to the first, which is the Sunday. Yes, I know that the 27th and 28th, for sure, at Art Space, there will be some dub poetry.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. Very, very cool. Now, earlier, Parker was briefing through, and we were mentioning the Shallow, show that's
the
on,
show on
at the
at
main
Art
space,
space now, yeah.
Main space with the crazy, creepy, breathing harmonica playing mouths suspended from floor and ceiling, all driven by what do they call that? Forced air stuff?
Pneumatic.
Pneumatic. That's right. Which echoes the amoeba in the back room,
right?
With the projection down onto it from the ceiling. Crazy. Okay, so shifting gears again, wanted to ask you about how things have been going with Dog Bites Manlisher.
Well, not really well today.
Oh.
This week and next week they've been preempted for a basketball game.
Oh, that happens sometimes. I remember that.
Yeah, well, when that happens, they go on the air from noon until 1.
Right.
But there's another show on Trent Radio and then, and I can't get in and take over.
Right, right.
So today I had a jam without Manlisher.
Right, right.
But I played a bunch of stuff from my new record collection.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, most of it.
Right.
But I bought some great records yesterday at the store, a secondhand store.
Mm-hmm.
25 cents each. And I got... We Shall Overcome.
Oh, yeah.
I played the speech, the Martin Luther King speech from that as the opening, and then slowly added in the the bird calls, the religious experience narration, the Whale album, and the medieval...
What was the one cover that you were showing me? And I was reading the cover, and it said something about a church that... Something together
I'll
dies together. Weirdness. Yes.
I'll go find it.
Okay. On a side note, my own experience with Brian's rather strange and eclectic collection of records and vinyl, coming from secondhand stores, Salvation Armies, Value Village.
Value Village. They overcharge.
Oh, okay. So Value Village is scratched off because they're overpriced. Wait, even for the weird stuff?
They don't have any weird stuff.
Oh, okay.
They've got lots of Jim Nabors, Herb Alpert, tons of classical, obviously.
Right.
You can find 4 copies of Billy Joel.
Oof.
But I really don't think I found anything good there.
Right. They probably turf out anything that you'd be interested in because they probably figure nobody would be interested.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of doing a show sometime of just of my weird records because of some of the extreme weirdness that I've got collected on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Like the funeral of King George V.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's riveting listening, isn't it?
Well, it's a play-by-play done from the BBC radio.
Right. Yeah.
And recorded onto 78 RPM transcription discs.
Well, because, back in those days, I mean, everything was on the radio. Right, that too. I mean, but, people were glued to the wireless listening intently to news of the world outside.
Mm-hmm. let's see, I've got... one of Erratic Heartbeats.
Oh, yeah.
They're for doctors learning to diagnose various conditions.
Oh.
So you listen to these odd heartbeats. That's what it's supposed to sound if he has a mitral valve infection.
Right.
Or whatever.
Wow. Ooh, that could be a very interesting album to remix into some crazy strangeness.
The sound quality actually is terrible.
Yeah,
That series.
Yeah. Well, I don't imagine they'd want it to be too clear because, when you're, in an emergency ward and listening through a stethoscope, it's...
Yeah, but it's really not good for sampling.
Right.
I've tried.
Right.
It sounds like dirt.
Right, right. Throbbing dirt.
Yeah. How about getting through to the hard of hearing?
Oh.
This is one that gives some phrases.
Yeah.
I guess they're constructed to have most of the sounds in the English language.
Okay.
Right, so you don't miss anything. But
yeah.
What it does is it cuts out the higher frequencies.
Right.
Well, this is what happens as we age.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in our 40s.
Yeah.
And we've...
started to burn out the finer hairs. You know,
we've noticeably wiped out some of our higher frequencies.
Yeah.
So as hearing loss progresses, the higher frequencies always go first.
Yeah.
And so what they do is they filter out the high frequencies of these recordings.
Right.
Until someone with 80% hearing loss is simulated by this process, and it just sounds like...
Right. Like the adults in the Peanuts cartoons.
Yeah, something like that.
Huh. But by listening to that, you can sort of figure out what words you can say and what you can put across to, so that you can learn to speak with what is going to be heard.
You know, speak is a difficult word because the S or the SH and CH are the highest sounds.
Yeah, and they get lost.
They get wiped out.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow. Bizarre.
Okay, well, here's... The Zoo Story by Edward Albee.
Yeah.
This is a play. I saw this play years ago, performed by Phil Black and Phil Oakley.
Okay. Which actually reminds me, I remember talking to Brian Mottolo a while ago, and I mentioned it to you, how he had done a production of Willem Reich in Hell by Robert Anton Wilson, which I would love to have seen that.
Maybe he'll do it again.
Yeah. I want it. I want to star in it. I'll be Reich.
Yeah, you would be.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the record you wanted?
Oh, right. The church that lives to itself will die by itself. And it's the Congress Record, a documentary in sound. Oh, there's some Greek up there. Okay, so in August 1963, more than 1,000 archbishops, bishops, priests, laymen, and laywomen of the 18 churches of the World Anglican Communion met in Toronto for what was to become, unexpectedly, one of the most momentous religious gatherings of modern times. The delegates from the 78 countries knew that the theme of the Congress, the Church's mission to the world, would evoke much exciting discussion. But little did they realize how strong were the winds of change that would sweep through that great meeting, or how suddenly they would be confronted with a challenge so dynamic that its implications, implementation would mean the virtual rebirth of the Anglican Communion itself. The challenge came in the form of a document called Mutual Responsibility and Interdependence in the Body of Christ. Truly one of the greatest Christian mandates of our age. This is a recording of highlights of the Congress. An exciting reliving of those historic days when world Anglicanism entered a new and breathtaking understanding of the stewardship Christ has given it. Crazy.
Sounds intense.
You find just the strangest stuff.
There were actually two copies of this record there, and they were stuck together.
Oh.
You can see right. How I ripped them.
Yeah. Did you only got the one?
I only needed one.
Well, you could do remixes. Like we were talking last week about Kraftwerk. Yeah. You could do the the Congress record remix. You could extend it for like 4 hours.
The record will probably still be there next time I go. This is a good one. This one is recordings from the March on Washington, August 28th, 1963.
Wow.
We Shall Overcome.
Yeah.
It starts with Joan Baez singing We Shall Overcome.
Uh-huh.
President Kennedy gives a press conference, and the speech made that day by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Huh. Wow. That's cool. And so you played that a bit on your show today.
It was mixed in with the collage.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would not expect you to play things just straight up. Like, that would be boring. And not to mention a little dry.
I made good use of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very cool. As I said, very timely. Now, where should we go from here?
I don't know. But I was thinking there may be some cramps on the Trent Radio Archive.
Oh. There's a... What's the best way to search? Probably with this thing or that thing.
Yeah. Let's just put on a tune.
Yeah.
While
we're searching.
Search this out.
Okay.
This is Transfusion by Nervous Norvus.
Ah, okay.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion, transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about a quarter to nine. I gotta make a date with that chick of mine. I cross the center line. Man, you gotta make time. Transfusion, oh man, I got the cotton picking convolutions. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Shoot the juice to me, Bruce. My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead, but I'm a fast riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a gonna pass a truck on the hill ahead. Transfusion, my red corpse suckles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson. I took a little drink and I'm a feeling right. I can fly right over everything, everything in sight. There's a slow poking cat, I'm gonna pass him on the right. Transfusion, I'm a real gone pale face, and that's no illusion. I'm a never, never, never gonna speed again. Pass the claret to me, Barrett. A rolling down the mountain on a rainy day. Oh, when you see me coming, better start to pray. I'm a cutting up the road and I'm the boss all the way. Transfusion, transfusion. Oh, Doc, pardon me for this crazy intrusion. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Pump the fluid in me, Louie. I'm burning up the freeway early this morning. I'm a passing everybody. Oh, nothing but corn, man, out of my way. I don't drive with my horn. Transfusion, oh nurse, I'm gonna make a new resolution. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Put a gallon in me, Alan. Oh, barnyard drivers are found in two classes, line crowding hogs and speeding jackasses. So remember to slow down today. Hey, daddy-o, make that type O, huh? Atta boy.
We'll be right back. let's get fucked. Let's get fucked up. Let's get fucked up. Let's do some stuff and get fucked up. Yeah, tomorrow we'll feel like we've been hit by a truck, but let's get fucked up. Going to a cockfight. Stuff at Hawk might never ever return. Ooh, going to the brink of oblivion. Gonna need a shrink to get back again. Tomorrow we'll feel like we was hit by a truck, but let's get fucked up. I'm gonna get low down, gonna get keyed up, gonna go downtown and get beat up, gonna get way out to the adrenaline, gonna hit flame out when my head caves in. Ooh, ouch, ooh, let's get fucked up, baby. On nocturnal shades, head down to amateur night, do some purple haze, probably lose some fight. Ooh, get cool and casual, get really sent, dig some cruel and unusual punishment. Let's get fucked up, let's get fucked. Degenerate, psychopathia sexualis. Too far out, baby. Too far out. Fucked up. I said fucked up.
All right, that was Sparkle Horse doing Hammering the Cramps. Crazy, which I guess is a tribute to the Cramps. I was expecting it to be a cover of the Cramps, but it's things are...
That's what the computer brought up for you, though.
Yep. So meanwhile, I'm getting the latest instant video.
Number 18.
Number 18. Crazy, eh?
It's one a week.
One a week. Yep. Now, interestingly enough, it's been shifting what day. It started on Thursday, and now they're to the point where they're filming on Sunday nights, and Lester generally finishes editing and uploading on the Monday.
Well.
So, but it's still, still moving on, which is very cool. Yeah, actually, on their the originalplastic.com's front page, it says, presenting a new video each week until we hit 100 or never stop. So they're fairly open-ended as to where they're going to go with what they're doing. So I think it's buffered enough that I will get this rolling. And I see the folks for the next show are getting ready, so we'll probably
starting to crowd the doorway a bit,
right? So we'll
no, they're not pushing us.
No, but what I'll do is I'll queue up a station break for them and all that kind of stuff, and I guess I'll talk to you all guys
next week.
So in the meantime, this is Tammy Lynn Foreman with Memory. Oh, hold on, let me queue that up, and there we go.
He's in my memory. Слухайте Тренд Радіо на хвилі 92.7 FM. Залишайтесь з нами. Ми знаходимося на перехресті вулиць Парк Хілл і Джордж в Пітерборо і чекаємо на волонтерів.
Translation. You're listening to Trent Radio 92.7 FM CFFF. Producer-oriented programming from the corners of George and Park Hill Streets in Peterborough.
J'en avais beaucoup de l'étoile.
Amigos,
hola
Parker,
hola
René,
hola.
Desde el primer día de febrero empezó toda la América Morena el turbulento multitudinario carnaval.
Esta fiesta se celebra en todo el mundo, también en China, como fiesta del agua, y se la tiran bañándose sorpresivamente hombres versus mujeres.
En muchos sitios, a pesar de los problemas económicos y dificultades, se juega con agua y se baila. El sitio del que más se habla es Brasil, el más conocido por su sambódromo y sus bailes callejeros.
Donde a comienzos de la semana terminó el Foro Social de los Pueblos, una gigantesca reunión de organizaciones y dirigentes de los que no ven en el capitalismo una salida a la crisis del sistema. Este Foro de los Pueblos es de los países y gentes propiamente pobres y en respuesta a la reunión de Davos, que es en donde los Estados Unidos reinan.
Además, hay que tener en cuenta que este foro social de los pobres, digamos, fue acompañado por 15.000 jóvenes que acamparon voluntariamente o como sus fans o simpatizantes. Veremos sus planteamientos y también hay que conocerlos, discutirlos. Y mientras tanto, gustemos de la música brasilera. De acuerdo a las circunstancias, escogeremos algo divertido y muy bello de Chico Buarque da Mangueira.
Oh, Mangueira, pra você eu cantarei a vida inteira. Pra você eu cantarei a vida.